Jonah Schaefer, IA Hall of Famer, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He was there last night to witness that. Fourth quarter was very interesting. Jonas joins us now. And Jonas, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So have you wrapped your head around everything that I guess it's all a microcosm of what this season was, but what you saw last night in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting the Ravens to win. I watched that first drive, that first quarter, and felt even more convinced. And things just spun wildly out of control. I thought for sure that the Steelers would run away with it in the third quarter after Kyle Hamilton got knocked out. But there was drama and more drama and even more drama after that. And what you were left with was just kind of, you know, this train wreck that we have been watching all season long. You know, an explosive offense that was not consistent, a pass defense that played way below its pedigree, a pass rush that was disappearing, and then, you know, as a kind of special knife in the back, just like this improved special teams group falling apart in the fourth quarter. I guess I should specify Tyler Luke falling apart in the fourth quarter in one of the hardest places to kick a football. So, you know, obviously it feels like all of their losses this year have been kind of a microcosm of what has been plaguing this team, plaguing this franchise. But at least now there's no more string left to play out. We can kind of focus on what happens now.
Jonas, we were just talking about that play prior to the kick at the end of regulation where Lamar Jackson took a knee, lost a couple of yards. Were you surprised that Derrick Henry didn't get the football? They didn't try to get more yards there.
Yeah, because, you know, I think if you're asking me, I would much rather have the opportunity to kick a 36-yard field goal, a 39-yard field goal from the left hash than like a 44-yarder mm-hmm. from the middle. You know, obviously there's always the risk of someone lining up incorrectly or someone getting a holding penalty or Derrick Henry losing the ball. But I think all of those chances are pretty minute. And, you know, I asked John Harbaugh the question about a post game, and he said basically we wanted the margin for error in the case that there was a missed snap or a botched hold or something like that. But, I mean, you've got one of the best, like, pre-snap operations in the game there with Jordan Stout and Nick Moore. And I feel like you're putting in an insurance policy for something that doesn't need an insurance policy. So I thought for sure when they lined up that they were going to at least give it one more go to try to make this a little bit more manageable of a kick. Because, I mean, just like looking at some of the tweets from after the game, you know, Michael Lopez, who's the NFL's, you know, director of research / analytics, was just, you know, citing old studies that says that AccraSure is not only one of the hardest stadiums to kick in, but also, when you are kicking in very, very cold weather, the degree of difficulty rises mm-hmm. even higher. So that's even more pressure that you're putting on this rookie who's never really had to make a high leverage kick like this. So I just think it was a failure of process all around.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways we can look at the defense in the fourth quarter collapse, but I'm going to look at it through the prism of Roquan Smith, who that to me is a signature of a move as this GM has made as anything. I mean, he wants to collect defensive backs, and they don't really want to invest in pass rush for the most part, and they haven't. And so he's not going to pay anyone $20 million to rush the passer, but he's going to play a middle linebacker $20 million that Chicago didn't want to do. And Jonas, up until Hamilton gets hurt, this guy's averaging 3.7 air yards per attempt, and everybody knows where the ball's going. Everybody knows it's Warren and Gainwell and some slow tight ends. And somehow, despite him throwing it 40 times and them handing it off, like I'm like, how is Roquan Smith not found a way to be a positive force in any way, shape, or form for this football team? Like, I think it's become a massive problem for them, and the contract's basically untradeable.
Yeah, I mean, I won't disagree with you that last night was not Roquan's finest hour. I think, on the whole, I've been impressed with what he's given this team over the second half of the season. I have to admit, I got to go back and just watch the film from the second half of the season. Obviously, there were moments early on, especially against the Bills, in, you know, as far back in week one, where he's getting roasted in coverage by James Cook. So it's maybe a little bit fitting that we are, you know, basically back to where we started, and we have another full circle moment there with Roquan. yeah, it's just he was frustrated. You could tell. I don't know if he's going to age gracefully into these later years of that contract or of his career, just because of how he is built. He's, you know, a bit of a top-heavy kind of guy. So it was not a good performance by him, not a good performance by the secondary. There were so many missed tackles.
But
Aaron Rodgers scampering for 20 yards. How about that one, Jonas?
I know. I don't know if you guys saw it last night, but the weirdest statistical quirk of this season is Aaron Rodgers scoring a touchdown against the Ravens before Lamar Jackson scores a touchdown against the Steelers in Week 14. And then last night, Aaron Rodgers getting a 20-yard run this season before Lamar Jackson gets a 20-yard run.
We're talking with Jonas Shavert's Inside Access here on The Fan. Jonas, so where do we go from here? Obviously, this was not the season that they were expecting. It's not the season they wanted. I can't imagine that, and I do this to you sometimes, and I apologize, but I know you're not a columnist, but things can't stay status quo here.
No, definitely not, and I don't think they will. Obviously, I wish we had more time last night to ask John Harbaugh what exactly, if he knew it then, what the plan is this week vis-a-vis meeting with Steve Bisciotti. I imagine that thing is already being set up. I imagine we'll probably hear drips and drabs this week about meetings and just the planning process for this week, this month. I mean, you know, it was interesting to go back and look at last year. Like, the Ravens held their season-ending presser pretty soon after that Bills game. It was, the season is over, and a couple days later, it was John and Eric up there taking questions. And you get the feeling like we will probably not be working under that accelerated timetable because of how many balls are in the air right now. You know, I know Roquan probably isn't the best guy to be hanging quotes on because of the performance that he had last night. But, you know, the lead of my story that I opened with was basically Roquan Smith, a man who I think is very well-spoken and very considerate in what he says, basically grasping for answers for a three-minute response to a question about this, the state of this Ravens team. And he said, not to blame the coaches, but everything that he said suggested that there is a disconnect or that there is a message not being heard by the players. And sure, you can fix that by getting rid of assistant coaches or a coordinator or both coordinators. But ultimately, you have to consider the possibility that John Harbaugh, after 18 years on the job, you know, might not be at this Super Bowl window moment in time.
You deal with the players in a way that we don't on a daily basis. So your reaction to this is probably, definitely far more potentially prescient than ours. But watched a lot of clips of a lot of players. Well, I should say a lot, at least four players being asked about Harbaugh to some degree, including Lamar in a press conference setting, which is a little different than off to the side in front of a locker. It didn't seem like anybody was throwing bouquet, like anybody saying, that's my guy, or, hey, that's the only coach I've ever had, and I know it's not my decision, but, you know, I love playing with Harbs. Like, it seemed, Ronnie Stanley, it seemed like people were being judicious in how they approached what often would be very easy for a guy who's been here 18 years to just treat as a softball, and, you know what I mean, and find some way to quasi-endorse him, or am I reading too much into these responses?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you don't want to read. If you go looking for a narrative, you'll be able to find it. I did talk to Mark Andrews last night, and he was very outspoken in his support of Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh, and, you know, that partnership specifically. You know, Mark said he loves Harbs. He's, you know, very important to the mission of this franchise. Obviously, Mark, you know, has a vested interest in, you know, keeping things on solid ground there with him being under contract now for a couple more years in Baltimore. But he at least did not dance around that question of whether John Harbaugh should be back next year. I don't think he was asked like that in those black and white terms like some of those other guys were. So, you know, give him some wiggle room there. But, it's going to be interesting to look at the quote sheet from today and, you know, some of the guys that we talked to and just how important Harbaugh is and what they feel about this, because, you know, what they say matters, but ultimately I do think it's kind of a drop in the bucket when you look at just what Steve Bisciotti is hearing from the other coaches or from fan base or from Sashi Brown or from Ravens PR. I mean, there's just so many different stakeholders here to consider.
Jonas, here's the good news. You have more time to pay attention to Maryland basketball now.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, God. I'm very, very lucky that, and then Jason, of course, you'll know this as a consumer of culture, that this is looking to be like one of the most stacked months for prestige TV I've ever enjoyed. We've got the Pit coming back. We've got a bunch of other great that are on tap. So we've got Industry coming back on HBO. That's another gem. So I am so excited to not have to worry too much about what this Ravens offense might or might not have been able to do against the Texans defense, and just kick back my feet a little bit and actually look forward to getting more than 3 hours of sleep.
Jonas, if this is it for Harbs, I think what I will miss the most is that we didn't get a buff off between Buzz and Harbs. You know,
each guy doing their Hulkamania,
like, did you catch Buzz flexing in the locker room before his Twitter. Team scored 40 points at home? Like,
did you guys see the Buzz Williams book report that they put out today, I think, or yesterday?
No,
I missed that.
We have a D1 basketball coach who is claiming to read or consume like 4 books a month, which is just incredible to me. I think it's a little bit more understandable if he's consuming these via audiobook, but unless this guy's getting 3 hours of sleep at night, I cannot imagine leading a Division I basketball program, especially one in this much turmoil, and being able to say that you're reading a book a week.
He's not missing any workouts, Jonas. Yeah. I know that much.
It's the most literate he's coach.
He's on the Harbaugh coaching lifting program. So
yeah, Jonas, get some sleep.
Pythons.
Get some sleep, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Great talking.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. You heard what Jonas had to say. What do you think about what's next? What happened last night? 410-583-1057. We hear from the people next. Ravens season is over. No playoffs this year as they lost what was essentially a playoff game last night in gruesome fashion, 26-24 to the Steelers. Let's hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Vinny's in the Northeast. Vinny, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, man, listen, I want to say this. The defense was horrible, was horrendous. Yeah. Tyler Luke missing the field goal. But we need to talk about what's been going on all year. The offense stalled. That 10 points set up there for a long time.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of drives where nothing happened, even before the third quarter came along, way as though we didn't hardly have the ball. That's got to be fixed. The offense was up and down, and they didn't score any points after 10. It sat there for the longest time. And we had the ball a lot of times where as though we should have been able to put a drive together to get at least 3. We had drives that we put no points up.
We talked about it a lot this year.
They had a shot at for the holding penalty.
In the fact that they're one of the worst first half scoring teams in all of football. Mm-hmm. And the holding penalty you're referencing, Ken, that was Linderbaum, where they would have had the ball at the Steelers 23-yard line with 4 minutes, 21 seconds
to go. How many
dudes
got pushed back into Lamar Jackson? Yeah, how many balls got knocked down at the line of scrimmage because his offensive line's getting
one led to a pick?
And another penalty, Ronnie Stanley had a holding penalty on the first play of the drive after the Steelers scored a field goal to make it 10-3. You ended up going 3 and out. It was 3rd and 20. You just handed it off to Derrick Henry. You waved the white flag. So those two crucial holding penalties stalled drives.
Let's go to Hector. Hector, you're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm a huge fan of your show, even though I'm a theater fan myself.
Oh, thank you.
Just want to throw this out for you guys. That play where the guy slipped, the cornerback for the Ravens, I know there's a big thing right now when a defensive coordinator knows they can't stop an offense. Do you think that was legit? Because of all the whole game, the guy was playing terrific coverage, and until that play, he slips with 55 seconds. What are your thoughts on that play specifically?
You mean like he was trying to let him score kind of thing to put it back in Lamar's hands to try to win it?
I think they trusted their offense more than they trusted their defense.
He sold it pretty good. I mean, Owusu sold it pretty good. I'd hate to be the guy. How do you draw the short straw there?
Yeah.
I guess you got to tell everybody, whoever he throws
the slip play.
Ready to fall for the double move. And when I say fall for the double move, I mean wipe out, banana slip, banana peel,
banana
in the tailpipe.
Can I tell you, I love people because out of everything that happened in that game, that's his takeaway. That
Shadoopy
Owusu fell.
I mean, look, I think he's given Zach Orr way too
too much.
Yes.
I think Zach Orr's probably peeing down his leg, like not thinking, let's have Woozie do the banana. Yeah.
We have seen numerous times throughout NFL history defenses allowing offense to score.
That'd be a horrible way to do
that
it.
That was not one
that
of them.
That would take the cake.
That was not one of them.
That would be next level.
Yeah, that would be.
Let's
give him an Oscar, dude. A Woozie.
Man.
Screw
the Golden Globes next weekend.
Yeah.
Bill's in Pasadena. Bill, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, I enjoy your show, especially when Jason gets his blood pressure up. I think
that never happens.
What are you talking about?
Hey, is it true that when a head coach like Cleveland's head coach got fired, the whole coaching staff is fired?
Generally. Or they're allowed out of their contracts. Depending on their contract status, they'll send a memorandum to the league saying, look, it's no tampering here. He's technically under contract till this date, but he's free to explore other opportunities.
90% of the time. But a good example, Rex Ryan stayed on with John Harbaugh his first year.
Well, I got a brilliant idea. Why don't we fire Zach Orr and go get Jim Schwartz?
Local time.
If the head coach is generally going to have a lot of say in that, so we don't know who the head coach is.
Yeah.
Like, if the head coach was not...
Would Harbs be interested in Jim Schwartz?
I mean, I think he absolutely should be.
I think Jim
I don't know his contract status, and it could be that the Browns say, if they know he's going to... That Baltimore wants to talk to him, that the Browns... And some teams don't always let everybody have a contract. Yeah. Sometimes they'll say, no, you need to call us and ask for permission to interview this person because he's technically still under contract to us. And they might say yes to Arizona, but they might say no to Baltimore. Yeah.
Do you want to ride some calls?
Sure.
Yeah. 410-583-1057. More from the people next here on The Fan. 410-583-1057. More from the people. Ravens football season is over. I guess what comes next? Let's go out to the phone lines. Carl's in Bel Air. Carl, you're on The Fan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hanging in there. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a rough, definitely a rough one. Hey, I listened to a lot of calls on all the shows this morning on 105.7. And my biggest concern is back in the, with the late 80s, Jerry Jones thought any coach could win a Super Bowl, got rid of
Jimmy Johnson, brought in Switzer anymore.
Yeah, he won one Super Bowl. What have they been back since?
No, they have not.
The drought.
How many years ago?
30.
Yeah.
Bone can't even speak about it.
I guess I want to say folks in Baltimore got to be careful what they wish for.
Yeah, but appreciate the call, Carl, but it's a little different in that Jimmy Johnson had just gone to a Super Bowl. Switzer took over a Super Bowl roster. Harbs won a Super Bowl in 2012.
Well, and Jerry Jones was bombed out of his mind at a league meeting and did it in a moment of basically in a bar fight.
Well, can I tell you, it's in the documentary. Because they have Ed Werder, and who's the other guy? The guy that puts out the special teams ranking. Yeah, so they interview those two guys in the Cowboys documentary. Him and Jimmy got into it.
It was a bar fight.
So Jimmy wouldn't toast him. And so then the bar's clearing out. And so according to Werder and Gosselin, they're leaving. He brought it up, so I got to tell the story. And Jimmy Johnson, according to Werder, grabs Werder by the leg. And he says, you guys are going to leave? And he says, it's ending. He says, you're going to miss the best part. And he says, what do you mean you miss part? He goes, I'm about to fire MF Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. That's what he said.
Performative art.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this, and how, Andy Reid leaving Philadelphia, how'd that work out for Philadelphia?
Worked out pretty well.
How'd it work out for Andy Reid? Even better.
Worked out really well.
Yeah. So sometimes, again, I don't think Cowboys and Ravens are apples to apples.
Who the hell was Nick Sirianni?
Nobody knew. Nobody knew John Harbaugh.
Who the hell was Doug Peterson before that?
Nobody knew who John Harbaugh was when they hired him, other than he was Jim's brother.
Did you see the clip of John Harbaugh not knowing?
Bo Jackson, that's great.
I mean, how many NFL head coaches played in the NFL? Let's start right there. And then how many of them? It's not D'Amico Ryans because he was a linebacker. How many played on the offensive side?
I think the trick part of it is people don't realize how few yards Bo Jackson ran for. And so they're like, Mom, my brother's a quarterback. No way he rushed for what Bo Jackson ran for.
But who else played offense in the NFL?
I think he thinks he's having a brain fart.
Are we counting Andy Reid from the punt throwing thing?
He could throw.
Are we counting that?
Yeah.
Like, how many dudes?
Man amongst boys.
Yeah. Who else played
a
skill position in the NFL for any period of time?
It's a great bit. It's a great bit. Let's go.
Not Zach Taylor.
No. Let's go to Will. Will, you're on The Fan.
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. Early good evening to you.
Yes, sir.
Same to you, sir.
I have a metal bucket by my leg since last night, really for the entire season. You know what that's for. That's
puking?
For the barking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I say go ahead and gut the whole front office.
Amen.
Start over again. I'm tired of being lied to and bamboozled.
Yeah.
It's time we get back to Ravens football. And I don't know what Eric DaCosta is doing, but it's like, hey, I know it's not a sport anymore. It's entertainment. If you want to sell tickets, please say you just want to sell tickets. I'm not going to go for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to support my home team. I'm from Baltimore. I'm just fed up with it. Gut the whole darn thing because this I got this new word. It's not profane. It's called shiggity.
Hmm.
Get rid of it, and let's start over again. I would prefer to see a whole bunch of young draft picks that doesn't have a whole lot of experience, and you start from the ground up. Keep Lamar. And you keep Hamilton. Boy, secondary, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I put some of my grandkids out there and do better than that.
Yeah. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you would have a personnel department that's just as culpable having a hand in hiring the next coach. That's immediately empowering them in a way that the new coach won't be, unless you're promoting from within, and there ain't no way in hell this group would be promoting from within. If you're going to restart and you want your GM and your coach tied together, he does extensions, right? Bisciotti believes in separation of church and state. You coach the team, you run the roster, you both report directly to me through Sashi, right? And when I give one an extension, I tie the other one too. So if you're going to restart, let somebody else run the second part of Lamar's career. These guys had plenty of time the first half of Lamar's career to add more talent around him. Give somebody else a shot.
Let's grab Don. Don, you're on the fan.
Hey, I feel like the loyalty that this organization shows, the front office, the head coaches, the players over the years has been a good reason why we have a stable franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's become more apparent over these past few years that I don't even know if it's loyalty. I feel like it's more naivety or even arrogance.
Complacency.
For this organization to think that they can do something that's never been done in the NFL, which is the 5-year rule with the head coach and a quarterback. If an organization does not win a Super Bowl within the first 5 years of a quarterback and a head coach being together, they never will. And to think that they can do something that's never been done is just sheer stupidity. And it's frustrating being a season ticket holder for 17 years to continue to watch the same stuff over and over again. We've seen Harbaugh coach other quarterbacks. We've never get to see Lamar play for another coach. And yeah. I think now it's time.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
Interesting thought process. And yeah, the 5-year rules, I hadn't thought about
what
that.
What was it for Flacco? It was
he got it on his fifth
year. Yeah. It had to be right up against it.
They came in together in 08. Let's grab Mike. Mike, you're on the fan.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you for taking my call,
sure.
And Happy New Year, brothers.
Same to you.
I just want to say one thing. I'm a Commanders fan. And
sorry to hear that.
Yes. Me too, man. I have nothing bad to say about the Ravens because at least the Ravens had a chance to be there. You know, my daughter's husband is a master electrician for the Ravens.
Okay.
So I was hoping they were going to win because that would be more money for him.
Yeah.
Put more games. But when I saw the kick, I think he kicked the ground a little bit.
He did.
He hit
yeah.
the ball. And, you know, I know all about losing. Believe yeah. me, I've been miserable 30 years. But there's one thing I do want to say to all the fans. Please do not give this young man death threats.
No, that's crazy. Yeah, no, this kid was asked something to do he's never done before in his life in the most critical time. No,
I know.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's despicable.
Regardless of circumstance, death threats. Are,
no, but yeah. I mean, even picking on any person for that, like, is crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you, though.
Thank you,
appreciate
sir.
Appreciate the call.
Hope you have a better off season, but. You get Cliff Kingsbury out of your building.
See,
I will start there.
I wonder if Cordell's as bullish about the future of the Commanders as he was, say, a year ago.
He said he likes Cliff.
He likes Cliff.
He likes Cliff. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you what, you don't like Cliff as much as Cliff likes Cliff. I can guarantee you that much.
I remember Cliff during COVID when he was still coaching, and he's sitting in that big house. And that,
yeah,
that was a time.
He was feeling himself.
Yeah,
kind of like sunglasses at night. How'd that work out?
Not well for Cliff.
How'd that work?
Cool. See, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, well, I called in here back in July, August, and September, and I heard about this greatest roster on paper in the league. I said, yeah, I agree with that on offense, because I think we did have the best offense, top two or three offenses in football, but not on the defensive side. I said, where are they coming up with this on the defensive side? You got nobody on the front line.
Yeah.
You got weak linebackers, except maybe you got, you know, Roquan, you know, if he can step up, and you got Hamilton. Other than that, you're young in the back defensive backfield. Humphrey's washed. I said, so where do they come up with this? This team will only be as good this season as the defense is. I said that all along. Sure enough, we had our offense was good enough to go to the Super Bowl this year. We had a little slump in the middle of the season when Lamar went down. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we were quite capable to go to the Super Bowl or at least get to the championship game. You were good enough. We take the lead with 24-20 with 2 minutes to go. You're asking these guys to give you one stop to win the freaking division. One time.
Yeah.
Without Washington. Without Metcalf, and they can't get it done. They let him go right down the down the field and score. Now, guess what? It was probably better that Awuzie fell down. Because if not, they'd have scored anyhow, but there wouldn't have been any time left.
Yeah.
So the fact that he went down with a minute to 59 seconds to go was actually a good thing.
Maybe he did fall on purpose.
Maybe he did.
I would,
next level.
That really was.
It could be. But now, back to the final play. Yeah, I'm for running it one more time. Up the middle. Don't take a chance.
Yeah.
Give it to Henry up the middle. You are worried about a penalty. I wasn't worried about a fumble.
Mm.
But I was worried about a hold.
Yeah.
Or an off. I was worried about that, taking out a field goal range. Nevertheless, 44 yards. But guess what? What bothers me more is kicking the ball out of bounds five times this year.
Yeah.
All you do is kicking the ball down into that corner. I don't know why they got to play it so close to the right, to the outside line. I don't understand it. Why are you even being close to there in a game like this? But kicking it out of bounds is just completely uncalled for. I think he led the league.
He had a problem with it.
Kickoff penalties.
That's no bueno. Hey, by the way, Cordell Woodland's going to join us in studio at 5 o'clock. But coming up next, we need to reset the Lamar Jackson of it all. And it was an interesting game because got off to a quick start and then very quiet, but then he exploded in the fourth quarter. What do we think of Lamar? We'll tell you next. Lamar Jackson last night, I almost call it like a play in three acts. You had the early touchdown pass to DeVontae Walker, and shout out to anyone who listened to WannaBet and took the advice.
Well, no, this is the pregame show.
Oh.
I didn't call. It didn't occur to me until after WannaBet. So it was during the pregame show, and then I tweeted it out.
Okay, but that's an arm of the WannaBet.
Absolutely.
It's on your Twitter feed, yes. So the point still holds.
It was a big arm, an arm I could use to pat myself on the back.
Yes, yes. So you had DeVontae Walker scoring game's first touchdown. Paid what?
66-1.
Wow. So that hit. After that point, the offense was staccato, for lack of a better term. They not a lot going on. Derrick Henry got
grind it out.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens if we give the guy the ball 15 times in the first half, which I don't think any of us were opposed to.
No. And if Tyler Linderbaum doesn't get that holding penalty, he'd probably get points before the end of the half. Alas, third quarter, kind of rough. But then I felt like Lamar took a hit early fourth quarter, and it woke up the pissed off gene inside of him, and he went nuclear.
The one on the sideline that was maybe kind of smidge late.
Yeah. He was not happy, and he went peak Lamar on them in the fourth quarter. Now, alas, it didn't matter because the defense didn't help, and the kicker missed a kick. But Lamar did his part in the fourth quarter.
There's been a lot of opining in this town about what Harbs thinks of Lamar, right, and what the front office thinks of Lamar and what Lamar could fetch in trade and all this stuff. I wonder what Lamar thinks of his offensive line. You know, I wonder what Lamar thinks of their offseason. I wonder what Lamar thinks of their trade deadline. I wonder what Lamar thinks of here we are with the season on the line and it's – Dez Walker on the field, and it's some D-Hop on the field who hasn't done anything all year, and they just paid Mark Andrews, and I love Mandrews, and he's my guy, but man, he never shows up in these big games, and the guy who does make a play at the end that should have set them up for the game winner, man, he's
gone.
War with the team over his contract, and he's probably gone, and I'm getting pushed back, I'm getting Ali picked up and thrown back into me, and I'm getting balls knocked down at the line of scrimmage all over. He looked visibly frustrated as I've seen him about his surroundings. And I think the inefficiency around him got to him. And frankly, it had me concerned. I'm like, is this guy going to fight for a season? Like, because it didn't look to me in the first half, like it looked like the reality his surroundings were getting to him. Mm. And he started to look a little glazed over to me. He started to look to me like, is this going to manifest itself in fire or is this team going to go quietly? And then he did impossible things that only he could do.
Yeah.
I mean, he made a play where the scheme is bad and the offensive line is bad and the running back in pass pro is bad and there's a free A gap and there's a free lane off the wide of my left tackle and they both converge on me at the same time and I turn it into a 55-yard splash play for a touchdown. And then he hits another 50-yard play. And it's still not enough to keep their season alive. Just like hitting Andrews in the gut last year mm-hmm. somehow wasn't enough
gotta be a better
to keep
throw,
their,
Jason.
Their season alive. Just like, I mean, he did stuff in the fourth quarter of a football game that hasn't been done before. And his thanks for that was, well, let's see what our horse bleep defense can do with a lead, even though they haven't been able to keep a lead in 5 years. And, oh, yeah, this experiment with this kid kicker who's never had to do anything in the clutch his whole career. Let's see what that looks like in maybe the second or third worst place to kick a field goal on a real cold night. And instead of getting him a few extra yards or seeing what Derrick Henry could do one more time, maybe even close the game out himself, yeah, let's take a knee, drop back three more yards, and live or die with Big Looper. Like, what's Lamar thinking right now?
I would love to know, but you said it. He did something that never happened before. First quarterback in NFL history to lose a game after throwing multiple go-ahead fourth-quarter touchdowns of 50-plus yards. And he put on the cape in the fourth quarter. And I think we wondered for a while, did he still have that in him?
I didn't think he was capable of it this year, yeah.
For this season, because of how banged up he was. And we had no idea what it would look like with the back injury. And heck, even heading into that point in the fourth quarter, I don't think anybody thought that he was going to put the cape on. I thought that first play of the first drive in the fourth quarter, the 15-yarder to Zay, mm-hmm. kind of
energized him, yeah.
Exhale a bit, yeah. Because your two drives in the third quarter were
horrible.
Abject failure. The pick and then a punt after five plays. You had the 15-yarder and then the initial 50-yard touchdown pass. That was vintage Lamar Jackson. That was something that we have seen time and time again, but not so much this season. We haven't seen it in months. Going back to Buffalo, maybe Cleveland, that throw to D-Hop you bring up, Jason, that was spectacular. Lamar did everything in his power in that fourth quarter to win the football game. 6 of 8, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns. And one of those two incompletions, D-Hop and him weren't on the same page. That should have been a layup.
He thought D-Hop was floating down the sideline, and D-Hop just stood still.
And look, do I think they would have beat Houston? I don't. I think it'd have been a bad matchup for them. I think D'Amico Ryans could suffocate what's left of their passing game. I think he would not let Zay Flowers beat him time and time again. I think his bookend pass rushers would have ripped this team to shreds, whether you played that game in Baltimore, Houston, or the third ring of Venus, if there are rings on Venus or Saturn.
That's a yes.
But I will say this. Watching him do what he did in the fourth quarter, it would have made that Houston game pretty damn interesting. And it, like,
oh, totally.
If he's back, totally. If he now mentally thinks he's back, like, we were robbed of seeing that because they're running one of the worst fourth quarter defenses in modern history for 5 years straight now, and they wanted to go with a young, cheap kicker who never got tested through the whole season and who they never tested by bringing in any sort of veteran to ever compete with him. None of that's on Lamar.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't mind not having him tested before this game. I mind. Like, the Patriots are going with a rookie kicker as well. And the Ravens did go with a rookie kicker when they won the Super Bowl in 2012. Well,
let's see what that rookie kicker does if he's got a win against the Chargers
I hear
this
you.
Weekend.
I hear you. I just
In Foxborough in the win. I want to see that.
I am with you on the part that they should have manufactured a way to so that he's tested before this game last night. And I would have done more to get him a better shot at the kick at the end of the game instead of settling for a 44-yarder.
Yeah, but blame Lamar. I'm sure there's people out there who
still... Well, we had a call. It doesn't look right.
And for the what's left of, because there's still some. I saw him on Twitter last night. They should give Huntley a shot.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah, oh, come on.
He's not a quarterback. Yeah. Stop. Stop.
Can't push the ball down
stop.
The field.
Stop. Stop.
Hey, coming up next.
He's a game manager. They go 4-12 with this talent.
Yeah. By the way, special edition of the Fresh Take tonight at 6 o'clock. So joining us in studio next, part of that show with Beltway Ben Hall, Cordell Woodland joins us next here on The Fan.